Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Millie Moffat, Tressida Bendigo and Company's telephonist, is here again to commence Chapter 4 of Office Wife.
Hello? You still there, Dulles? I'm back again. Time certainly flies, as I said to Tom the other night. Some people get presents, Tom, I said, but all I ever get is older. Well, anyway, those 3 weeks certainly went with a rush. And Jeffrey Pilgrim's due back this morning. What? Of course not, silly, but I wouldn't mind if he was mine. Just think of it. 3 weeks honeymoon with a man like that. Oh, there I go, drooling again. That Marcia Capehart always did have all the luck. The thing I'm anxious to see is what's going to happen with Jeffrey and this new secretary of his, Stella Bronson. I know Harry Palmer's after her. But then, who isn't Harry Palmer after? Oh, here's Mr. Pilgrim himself. And that brown.
Good morning, Millie. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Mr. Pilgrim. Oh, I'm that glad to see you back. And I hope you had a wonderful honeymoon.
Thanks, Millie. It was glorious. Now, have you been looking after Tressida Bendigo and Company for me? Oh, I'll bet you have.
Well, you know, the firm would go broke in a week if it wasn't for me, Mr. Pilgrim.
I'm sure it would, Millie. Oh, is Mr. Fleming free, do you know?
Oh, I'll ring through for you if you like.
Might be a good idea.
Oh, Mr. Pilgrim's just come in, Mr. Fleming, and he wants to know if you're free. Yes, sir. Oh, I'll tell him. Yes, sir. He wants you to go straight up, Mr. Pilgrim.
Good. I'll give you a buzz when I'm back in my own office. Hello there, Porter.
Hello, Mr. Pilgrim.
Hi, Timmy.
Glad to see you.
Morning, Miss Fraser.
Oh, come in, Jeff. Come in, come in.
Oh, good morning, sir, and how are you?
Well, 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 there's no doubt about it. You look fit as a fiddle. Ah, marriage must agree with you. Sit down.
Thank you.
And how are you, my dear boy? How's Marcia?
As brown as a honey bear, sir, and chirping like a lark.
Splendid, splendid. Well, now, let's have a look. The other fellows have been doing their best to cope with your department, but none of them seem to have just your touch. I had Benny Puller on my back every day since you went. Tell me, how do you handle that old scallywag?
Well, I simply say no to some of his cheese-pairing quotations and stick to it. He seems to come around.
He certainly does. I think if you left us, Jeff, we'd lose his business. And that's one of the reasons why Mr. Bendigo and the board have decided to put you up $300 a year from the first of the month.
Well, sir, I must say that's extremely generous. Who should I thank in the first place? You?
Well, I admit I did broach the subject at our last meeting, but let's say no more. Now then, you'll find everything in order and your new secretary very efficient. She has everything, that girl, at her fingertips. I mean, a deuced smart girl, that Jeffrey, but watch your step.
Watch my step? How do you mean?
Well, you don't see such attractive girls as Miss Bronson in offices very often, Jeff, that's all. She's terribly attractive, and you're a married man. You don't mind me mentioning it, do you?
No, of course not. But surely you don't think that I...
Then that's that. Off you go, and let's see what sort of figures you can turn in for the month, eh?
I'll see if we can't break some records, Mr. Fleming.
Good, good. That's the spirit. Now, off you go.
Good morning, Miss Bronson.
Good morning, Mr. Pilgrim. I hope you had a happy honeymoon.
It was excellent, thanks. Now then, we'll let the mail go for half an hour. I want you to help me compile some figures on import quotations over the last 3 months. I should have done them before I left. They're rather important. Would you bring me the files?
They won't be necessary, Mr. Pilgrim.
Oh? Why not?
Well, Mr. Fleming mentioned that they'd be your first consideration when you returned. So I dug them out and compiled the figures myself last week.
You did? Oh, good work. Mr. Hendricks gave you a hand, I suppose.
No, as a matter of fact, I managed them alone.
Oh, that's splendid. Thanks very much. But you didn't have to go to all that extra work, you know?
It was a pleasure, Mr. Pilgrim.
Oh, that's a relief. The next thing, then, is the loading schedules for this month. We send them out to several companies, as I expect you know, mainly to my biggest client, Benny Puller and Company.
Well, I've done those, too.
What?
Yes. Benny Puller was pestering Mr. Fleming, wanting to know when you'll be back. And I've had a fair amount of time on my hands, so I did the schedules, too.
And they've gone out?
2 days ago.
Miss Bronson, I congratulate you.
Thank you very much.
Well, as it seems, I've got no work to do around here. Let's get on with the letters. Oh, one thing. Would you give Harry Palmer a buzz and ask him if he can spare me a couple of minutes? And I know you'll understand, but when he comes in, I wonder if he'd leave us alone. Just for a couple of minutes, that's all. It's a personal matter.
Why, of course. Mr. Pilgrim, how do you like your tea?
The girls in the outer office, no?
Yes, but I've noticed that taking it in turns to make teas as they do, it's never the same and it's generally half cold. So I've decided to make yours myself. Do you mind?
Do I mind? Well, not at all. I think it's very decent of you. But how will you manage?
I bought an electric jug for just the two of us.
You mean you bought it yourself with your own money?
Of course.
Well, tell me how much it was, and I'll let you a chit for petty cash.
Oh, it's quite all right, Mr. Pilgrim, really.
I don't want to sound ungracious, Miss Bronson, but I must insist that you draw the amount from petty cash. How much was it?
But it's still my jug. I don't...
Miss Bronson, how much?
42 and 6, including 2 cups and saucers.
I'll have the money for you before lunch. Oh, and it was very thoughtful of you. Now, would you get Harry Palmer?
Hello there, Jeff, old boy. Well, I say you look fit. What is it, the sun or Marcia or both?
Both. Look here, Harry. What I wanted to talk to you about was that night before my wedding. Oh, by the way, you got your car home safely, I hope.
Oh, yes, about 3 a.m. I found a garage open, one of those all-night places, and scrounged some juice in a tin.
Oh, good. Now, look here. I'd much rather Marcia didn't know about my driving Stella, Miss Bronson, home that night.
Ho, ho. Pulling the wool over the little woman's eyes already, are you? You cad, you...
Oh, don't be so fatuous, you silly ass. It's not that at all. I started to tell her the first night out on the cruise, but I sort of couldn't get it out, and it seemed better to let it lie. You understand, don't you?
Yes, of course I do. Now, Bronson didn't get amorous with you in the car, did she?
No, don't be an idiot, of course not. Be a good chap and keep it to yourself, that's all. I mean, it's not that important, but it was just the way it happened.
Well, if you've an ounce of sense, you'll tell Marcia, you know.
Yeah, perhaps in a month or so, Harry. Now, you will keep quiet, won't you?
Of course. What do you take me for?
Oh, good man.
And you don't have to worry about Stella. She's got her head screwed on.
How do you know?
I've been seeing quite a lot of that girl.
No. That's your affair. I don't want to hear about it. Sorry to have taken up your time. Now, how's that new contract of yours coming along?
Oh, it's in the bag. Well, cheerio. See you at lunch.
No, I'm meeting Marcia. Cheerio.
Well, what was it about?
Scared I'll tell his wife about the two of you in his car that night. Oh, is he letting you make his tea, eh?
The dear boy was delighted.
Good. See you tonight?
Could be.
Jeff, here comes the restaurant photographer. Shall we ignore him or stare with fixed grins?
I'm going to pose with a fork full of smoked salmon poised delicately in my open mouth.
Oh, darling, whatever for?
To teach those perfectly childish asses who run the social columns that Mr. Jeffrey Pilgrim does not care to be photographed while ingurgitating lunch with his wife.
Oh, don't be a beast. I love it. The charming Mrs. Jeffrey Pilgrim and her handsome husband caught tete-a-tete.
All right, then, but only this once. I suppose it's my own fault for having one of the most beautiful wives in town. And two, for bringing you the most social trough in town to feed.
Darling, I adore you.
Eat your food. Oh, good morning, Melody.
Who's that?
Melody Parsons, you know her, don't you? Friend of my glorious bachelor days. Oh, those glorious bachelor days. Oh, that gives me an idea. Mrs. Pilgrim, what about a party?
What sort of a party?
Oh, 20 or 30 people in from about 5:30 till 8 for drinks and those little savory things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One or two people from the office, Hendricks, Campbell, Harry Palmer and so on. They can bring their current females and we'll look our list up and collect the rest from outside. Your friends and mine. And what do you say?
I think it's a marvelous idea. So long as someone doesn't bring your secretary.
Well, I should scarcely think so. After all, darling.
How did she get on this morning? You had me in tears my first morning on the job.
Well, there's no doubt about it. She is a singular young woman. Do you know what she did by herself while I was away? She actually worked out, tabulated, compiled, and analyzed the last lot of import quotations, and on top of that, got together this month's loading schedules and mailed them out. You know what a tussle you used to have with them? They were always a week late. She's an acquisition, all right. She makes a jolly good cup of tea, too.
Oh, really, Jeff? Do you have to lyricize about it for hours? What did you say about tea?
Hmm? I said she makes a jolly good cup of tea.
And since when have the personal secretaries been making the office tea?
Oh, she only makes mine. Bought an electric jug in the works and had it all organized for me. I don't know what she does with her spare time. But she really is a secretary and a half.
Why should you be interested in what she does with her spare time?
But I'm not. I only said she's a marvelous secretary.
You wouldn't like to marry her and have me working for you again, would you?
Here, I say, darling, aren't you big?
Oh, let's eat our lunch and get out of here. I'm tired of this place. I shouldn't have snapped at Jeff like that. It's ridiculous. I should be delighted they find him a decent secretary. But I just can't help it. When he talks about her like that, it makes me furious. And all the time I know I'm being absurd about her. Quite absurd. Jeff doesn't know she exists out of the office. Or does he?
We invite you to listen to further chapters of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.